If you have your Bible, or you can get a pew Bible and turn to Ecclesiastes. In just a moment, I'm going to read from chapter 2 and chapter 9. I'm not sure what Dr. Williamson has planned in his comments in the service following, but I want to start with a little bit of an illustration for it'll discuss somewhat why I chose this passage today. I don't veer off track very much. I already told you I'm one of those sober Presbyterians, so I don't preach special sermons very often that aren't kind of right on track with my with the kind of the path I'm following through the scripture, but today is one of those days. Well, on Sunday, April 28th, 1968, so I kind of feel like today in some ways, the way the earth goes around the sun is 50 years. After church, with some flowers left over from Peggy's brother's wedding, at the beautiful Alabama Avenue Presbyterian Church, Johnny and Patsy became husband and wife. Now, their God, whom they serve faithfully, he had some challenges set out before them. They didn't know it yet, some of the challenges. Car broke down on the way to the honeymoon. Johnny, a hardworking man, found the right job to support a family, and I believe Patsy was able to go home from the job she had been doing. He became a master electrician and mechanic. John Cooper was born, and then a couple years later, Dan, and of course the challenges of parenting. Y'all know that. You know, in 1984, Johnny was in an explosion. Burned, electrocuted. I'm told he has some pig skin growing up here on his back. Financial challenges, physical challenges. Started his lawn care business. I think he had up to 35 yards at one time. He still cuts the church here. Now, I share this here even before I read the scripture, because when I was able to assume the responsibilities of ministering here 2.5 years ago and met them and met many more of you, and they're not the only illustration of today's sermon, by the way. But as I begin to learn about their life, I kind of had this question, why are you so happy? I mean, I'm a minister and I'm asking the question. Why don't I hear more complaining? How can we say we're blessed? And many others of you, and you're going to, this applies to so many of you, this message today. As you face challenges in this life, maybe you're today here lonely. Your spouse has passed into glory before you. And you always said, no, I'm going to go first. But God had other plans. Maybe there's someone in your life that you're taking care of, and it takes a lot of time, a lot of energy to take care of them. Maybe you're going on after a divorce. Where's the joy to be found? Where's satisfaction in this life, the difficulties of this life? Can we say we're blessed? Ecclesiastes 2. 24 and 25, I'm dropping in the middle of Ecclesiastes, and I think I'm going to come back here to this book. But you need to know Solomon, I believe Solomon wrote it, the preachers who we'll refer to him as, he tried everything in life, and he wrote a research paper about it, about how to find satisfaction and happiness. I'm going to kind of give us some highlights today. Ecclesiastes 2, 24 and 25. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For who apart from him can eat or who can have enjoyment? Chapter 9, verses 7 to 10a. Another similar refrain later on in his research paper. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love. all the days of your fleeting life that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Forgive me, let me go back to verse 7. Go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Let your garments be always white. Let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, that or your fleeting life that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I pray that as we study your word this morning, the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, friends, the reason we can even take today and enjoy today and celebrate today is because God gives us good gifts, and when we enjoy them, we experience his favor. As I've already alluded to, I'm going to dip here into Solomon's complex and intricate, I call it a research paper, known as Ecclesiastes. How do we find joy and satisfaction in a fallen world in the short time that we are here on this earth that God's made? The passage in chapter 2 answers the question, and then the passage in chapter 9 kind of spells out what we should do with it over the years. How do we find enjoyment? Well, it's from the hand of God. We can find enjoyment in our toil from the hand of God. Solomon sought pleasure, wisdom, and experience in every way imaginable, and came to the conclusion God is the only one through whom we can find joy and satisfaction. And so 24 and 25 of chapter 2, there's nothing better. There's actually, Walter Kaiser thinks it should really be translated like this: there's nothing inherent in a person that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. So there's nothing inherent in us that we're going to enjoy this, but it's from, then this is from the hand of God. God's built it in. God's built into us. We're going to find out in Ecclesiastes, he's built eternity into the hearts of men and women. But he's also built it in that without him, we can't really have enjoyment. For verse 25 says, apart from him, who can eat or find enjoyment? The possessions of the good gifts of daily life in this world are gifts from God if they're used properly and joyfully. We don't have the ability. Human beings don't have the ability in and of themselves to enjoy the mundane things of life like eating and drinking and earning a paycheck. Only God can give that ability to those who come to him in belief. Now, that's not to say people don't, made in his image, raise families, go to work, and live their life. But you see the difference. And in particular, as we look out at a world just scurrying, moment after moment, trying to find satisfaction. Because this next new thing, the law of diminishing returns sets in real quick, and we can only enjoy it for so long. Then we need something else. So it's only through God. We can't donate happiness to ourselves. Things like humanism or idealism, they're wrong. They believe all the good is located in humanity. The good isn't in us. The good is in God. And their satisfaction comes from him. And so wisdom and knowledge and joy come to those who seek after God. In fact, the one in chapter 2 continues, for the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. And so, in the midst of this life, and by the way, when the word vain or vanity is used in Ecclesiastes, it's just saying life is a vapor. Life is a mist. This life on earth is short compared to eternity. And so Solomon, or the preacher, is saying, live it in the fear of God and in the enjoyment of what he's given you. And so what we often call, rightly or wrongly, we call it the daily grind. How do we as we go through the daily grind, eating for nourishment? Can we have recreation and rest, our relationships, our vocation? Or are we just trying to scrape by and make a living? Where do we, if the enjoyment and the satisfaction comes from God, what does that look like? Well, just for a few moments, I want to suggest from chapter 9 that God does give us. In fact, with all the challenges that each of you, and each of you have your own set, young and old, each person in here, as you face the both the challenges, ongoing afflictions, whatever it may be, God offers us contentment, comfort, companionship, and commitment. So I'm now in chapter 9, verse 7. Go. That he could have just started with eat and eat your bread with joy, but he says go. He's being emphatic here. Come on, get up, get dressed, get going. Go, do it. Eat your bread with joy. Drink your wine with a merry heart. The righteous know. You who are clothed in Christ's righteousness, living by faith in the Lord, you know God's favor rests on you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Today, let's rejoice and be glad in it. Friends, I'm preaching this to myself. Family, I'm preaching this to myself, as well as to all of us. There's grief. There are unexplained mysteries in this life. There's pains we carry with us that are like an amputation. And I don't take that lightly for those who maybe have a physical amputation, but there's, using it as an analogy, there are things in our life. We look back and it's like there was an amputation. But in this, that doesn't hinder us. In God's plan for things, that shouldn't hinder us from enjoying, from having contentment in what He's giving us. In fact, if you're His, it says, God has already approved what you do. If you're an adopted son or daughter of God, God approves what you do. And obviously, we're saying that we're not throwing out, we need to repent of our sins, we need to live godly lives. But He's saying, in the general sense, as you're following me, you can have joy. You're a special object of God's gifts and of His acceptance. And so, you know, eat and drink with joy. You know, when we have our luncheon, I'm going to guess there's probably something chocolate. I'm sure many other. Do you know, when you let that, just the other day, I was letting some chocolate. I don't eat a lot of chocolate cake, but I was the other day. And I was letting that chocolate sit on my tongue. And I was sitting there just enjoying it. You know, a taste bud. What other, do we need taste buds to eat our food? We don't, but God gives them to us for the joy. So enjoy even the meal today and the taste of the various flavors of food. Not to mention the fellowship we have around the table as we stop to eat together, using that image. So we can have contentment, even in the average, everyday things like eating and drinking. God approves what His children, God is for us. He's not against us. If you're in Christ, you've trusted Jesus, God's for you. He doesn't have a frown. He's not frowning at you. If you're His child, He's smiling. Doesn't mean we don't repent and confess when we sin against Him. But He's a good Father. He also offers us comfort. Let your garments be always white, and let not oil be lacking on your head. You know, in the day this was written, the way you showed grief, sorrow, even personal grief or sorrow, a way of physically, publicly showing that you realize things weren't right and ought to be different, you would put on sackcloth and ashes. He's saying, do the very opposite as God's children, as those for whom God, of whom God approves what you do, put on white. Put on your nice clothes, whatever that is for you. Let's have a special occasion. One writer says, he's saying, put on your tuxedo or your suit, your evening gown, and dance. The white garments are symbols of joy and of purity. The purity that one day we will all have when sin is behind us and eternity is with us. Perfume, oils, perfume. Just the joy of taking care of oneself with the gifts God's given us to do that. Comfort. Putting on cologne, getting dressed up, and putting a smile on our face because God's God. And today's the day He's made for us. We can have contentment. We can have comfort. Also companionship. This is a particular one for today as we think about today's celebration. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love. All the days of your fleeting life, that is the short life, the short time you have with her in this life under the sun. There's gratification, there's comfort, there's delight in marriage. Now, many passages in Ecclesiastes, the messages are, I mean, oftentimes we, other relationships, and that's regularly the case in the scripture, we can take a principle and apply it to other relationships. I'm going to concentrate on marriage here, just marriage itself for a few moments. Solomon's talking here about marriage between one man and one woman. And he says, enjoy the life or see, engage fully in the life with the wife you love. That is, experience the full range of emotions and passions with the one to whom you cleave in holy matrimony. For those here who are married, this is for you. For those whom perhaps your spouse has gone on with the Lord, you can remember, hopefully with joy, those times. For those yet to be married, then this is something for the future. Cleave to the one God's given you. Be the best of friends, he's saying. Enjoy life, but spend time together. Worship God together. Have fun. Have fun. Remember that. Realize your wife is a gift. Your husband, ladies, is a gift too, but I think he is particularly talking to men here. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Peter would later add, live considerately with your wives, since you're joint heirs of this life. This life is fleeting. It's not meaningless. It's fleeting. It's short. Sometimes the days on this earth are downright silly. What do? Well, we have a short time to train for heaven. Marriage will cease then, for we, and I'll say this at the end, will be the bride of Christ. Earthly marriage will cease. But for now, engage in it and enjoy it. You can enjoy it because God enables you to. Now, we can only enjoy things when we have them in perspective. We're enjoying the gifts. We're worshiping the giver. We're enjoying the created things. We're worshiping the Creator. We have to keep that in perspective. Husbands and wives can truly enjoy one another in this life. The writer to the Hebrews would reiterate, marriage is honorable. Celibacy is not necessary, even particularly holy. The marriage bed is undefiled. I remember my campus minister, he would make us blush when he would be preaching. Every now and then, just to remind us college students who he desired that we would be holy and would wait until marriage to engage in the things that married couples are not just allowed but commanded to do. We would blush as he made it very clearly That he and, you know, here we were, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21. They looked from us, we looked at them, and they looked their age. And he just made it clear that they had a lot of fun together in the bedroom. And we would blush. But I remember, and it's been meaningful. And for those who have been married a while, you see, you have to be married a while, and you see the enjoyment God's given you. It's worth waiting for, young people. God's given marriage as an opportunity to glorify Him, to enjoy Him with the wife that you love. And on a day we're celebrating a 50th anniversary, it's good to say that. Companionship. There's also commitment. And by that I mean, He's telling us, with the work I give you to do, verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Work hard at what you do, whatever it is. Your daily chores at the house, caring for one another, the place of business where you go and engage your mind, your body for the sake of earning a living. Work while it's day. Do the duty of daily work and chores and earning a living to glorify God. You know, He's saying to us, we look at our work sometimes and we think, you know what? We're not always going to see the fruit of it. We do our work today as unto the Lord, and then we can lay it on our pillow at night with peace of conscience. And God will take care of the results. I'm talking about whether ministry or the everyday work. Ministry is not any more special than the other things that you do. If we're God's people, then we're somewhat ministers, servants of God, wherever we go, whatever we do. Leave the results of your labor to Him. He's the one that matters. His countenance on you is what matters. His approval is what matters, not the approval of man. Work unto Him and sleep in peace. I've used all these words with C, contentment, comfort, companionship, commitment. Well, there's two more words with C that just came into my mind, a clear conscience. All this, with a clear conscience, we can do these things. The daily gifts God's given us. And again, when we see our brothers and sisters, we see this happening in their life. It gives us joy when we see people in the midst of affliction saying, I'm blessed. This is happening. This is working itself out. This truth. Now again, I do remind you of this sermon that's saying, go out there and have fun. Yes, I've already said it. I'll say it again. We worship the giver. We enjoy the gifts in the way that He gives us. Okay? So, do your work with your might. Play your baseball with all of your might, with the joy of the Lord. I was thinking of Eric Little, the Olympian, the Scotsman, who honored the Lord's Day so much in his own conscience, he wouldn't run on Sunday. He switched events. But in the movie about him, Chariots of Fire, this is what I say for all of you. In the movie, the way that he says it is, God made me fast. He's telling his sister, who thinks he should give up running to go back to the mission field, but she eventually does. So he's saying, Jenny, God made me fast. And when I run, I feel His pleasure. When you take care of your parent who needs you, you can feel His pleasure. Do you? You should. When you're cleaning the gutters around your house, you can feel His pleasure. When you pitch the baseball or make the catch, get up to bat, you can feel His pleasure. When you clock in at 7 a.m. in the morning, feel His pleasure. Receive His gifts. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I'm going to close with the help of Phil Ryken, kind of summarizing this and bringing it from Solomon's time to today and all the way to the future. Here we go. Jesus says, come to him and find rest. Drink of the living water, partake of the bread of life. One of the best ways we can do this is to truly enjoy the things he's given us and to glorify him as we do it. Here's how Mr. Ryken helps me here. Dr. Ryken, Jesus gives us our daily bread. He makes our hearts glad with the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper. He's anointed our heads with oil, the oil of the Holy Spirit, who is with you every moment of every day of your life. He's invited us to the wedding supper of heaven, where we, all of us together, will be his beautiful bride and he will be our groom. And he's promised us the spotless white garment we will wear in his eternal kingdom, where the celebration will never end. So from here to eternity, we enjoy the gifts. We worship the Savior, the Creator. So what can we do to be doing the works of God today? Believe on him. Believe on Jesus, friends. Repent of your sins. Believe in Jesus for salvation. Don't leave here today without doing that. If you need to talk to someone about that, talk to me or Cecil or one of the elders. Believe on the Lord Jesus. And in the meantime, love your family, love your friends, worship, fellowship with God's people, do your work to the best of your ability, play your sports with all gusto, everything you do, earn your living with honest hard work, and living today by faith in Jesus, forgiven and redeemed, one day we can look forward to those words, good and faithful servant, welcome, enter the joy of your master. And enjoy the pleasures forevermore promised to us by him. Our Father in heaven, I pray you would apply your word to our hearts. Lift up your people this day who come to this place downcast. Make us more like Jesus. Truly do give us the joy of our salvation even today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.